السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، أما بعد، إن شاء الله today we'll continue in أسماء الله الحسنى. And today's talk is I believe number 33. And today, inshallah, we'll talk about La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. About Allah. The name of Allah in the context of La ilaha illallah. And again, to know Allah is to want to worship Allah. And to know Allah is to get close to Allah and to love Allah. And to have the easiness of this life and the hereafter. So, La ilaha illallah. In the Arabs, they say, Alaha ya'luhu ilahatan aw uluhiyatan, which means has to do with ibadah, with active worship. An aliha ya'lahu alahan. Aliha ya'lahu alahan, meaning to be at awe or be at wonder. Tahayyara. Alaha is tahayyara. Aw alahatan is tahayyara. Is to be at wonder and at awe. And also, aliha ilayhi, aliha toward him, meaning laja'a ilayhi, meaning he thought or went after protection with him. So in the language, the ilah is the one that you worship, the ilah is the one that you are at awe with and at wonder with, and the one that you go to and seek refuge with. Now, when the Arabs would hear at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, La ilaha illallah, they would understand this meaning or these meanings. They understand the power of this. They understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as when you think of Allah as ilah, and you say la ilaha, except Allah, some would get scared, because they know that this is a revolution about to happen. They know this is a commitment that is great. They know that this is a greatness to be in and to submit to. So we know those who listened to this and they said, you know, he said that, إِذَن تُحَارِبُهُ الْعَرَبُ وَالْعَجَمُ. Indeed, the Arabs and the non-Arab will fight him once they knew about that word of La ilaha illallah. And we talked many times about La رَبَّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. There is no Rabb, a caretaker except Allah. And that issue, the kuffar of Mecca have no problem with that. Shaitan have no problem with that. Because once we talk about what Allah does, then everybody in agreement. But when we start talking about what we should do, then there are plenty of people who will be in disagreement. So La ilaha illallah has to do with what we should do, not what we recognize of a fact. So when we say La ilaha illallah in a way of ibadah, that means Allah Al-Khaliq. So therefore, he should be worshipped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Raziq, the one who gives sustenance to his creation. So therefore, he should be worshipped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Muhaymin, the one who is overtaking, taking care and doing everything to everyone or for everyone. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make the dua as he's traveling, saying, Allah, Allahumma anta as-sahib fi as-safar. Oh Allah, you are the one who is with me in the travel. Wal khalifa fi al-mali wal walad wal ahli wal walad. And you are with khalifa, meaning you are Allah with my family, my children, and my wealth. See, here is Allah al-Muhaymin. You're going along, and Allah is with you, and you're leaving behind, and Allah is with them. Okay, so therefore, Allah is the one who should be worshipped. Okay? This life that we are living needs mercy, abundance of mercy, abundance of control, abundance of rahmah and control, abundance of creativity, if you will. Okay, abundance of all the attributes that we can notice around us. Okay, it has power in it. It has mercy in it. It has dignity in it. It has giving and taking in it, providing and taking away. And all of that, mankind knows that this has to be from the Creator. Because they know that they have no hand in any of this. So therefore, he's worthy to be worshipped. So, La ilaha illallah, there is no deity worthy to be worshipped except Allah. And when we think about the attributes of Allah, we are, and every week when we sit and talk about one attribute of Allah, we are at awe with this, and we all share at the end the power and the wonder of this. Okay, that here is, you know, last week we talked about Allah al-Badi'ah and how his creation is so wondrous and how, you know, Allah initiated this creation and then put in it things that we can copy and so we can reach some kind of innovation. Innovation of something that would benefit. And we will not get close to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So here is La ilaha illallah, meaning we are at awe with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the mercy that he gives us. Okay, so we agree and we submit that Allah has these attributes, but we also dwell in these attributes and we are so wondered about the attributes of Allah and saying we cannot compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to anything, period. So he is also worthy to be worshipped. Okay? So we are at wonder and at awe with the name of Allah and we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we say La ilaha illallah, that means there is no refuge except with Allah. Because he is the creator, he is the controller, he is al-Razzaq, he is the one who is al-Malik, the king, and the true owner of everything, and true owner of events that happens. He is in control of the events that happens. Nothing happens except by the will of Allah. Okay? When something is taken away, we know Allah took it away. When something is given, we know Allah give it. When someone died, we know Allah tawaffahu, took his soul. When someone is born, we know that Allah give them life. When someone loses something they think that they have control of it or not, we know it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who took it from him. So therefore, we only run to Allah for refuge. Because everything, he created everything, he's in control of everything. So the only refuge has to be to Allah. Okay. Now, this, when we think about the name of Allah, we should think about all the names that's under this name, which is all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes. Okay. So whatever it is, attribute that we know, it belongs to Allah. So we run back to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributes of punishment. As they say, attribute of al-jalal. Al-jalal meaning you'll be at having a feeling of respect, at awe and respect, the fear that has respect in it. Okay? And the attributes of al-jamal, the attributes of beautiful attributes, both are beautiful, but attributes of mercy. Okay? The attributes of mercy. This attribute that ar-rahmah, that has mercy in it. Okay? Al-mu'in, the one that helps, and so forth. So here is, you know, the attributes of punishment and the attributes of mercy. So we run away from Allah. Where do we go? We go to Allah. So we are running away from the attributes of punishment to the attributes of mercy. We're running away from Allah to Allah. Or we're running to Allah, fearing Allah. This is the love and fear. Okay. This is the balance. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said at the end of Ramadan, يتجلى الجبار. When you heard the word jabbar, you think of, strong al-jabbar, okay? So al-jabbar will come, the end of Ramadan, okay? So al-jabbar will come at the end of Ramadan, and birahmatih, he will come with his mercy. See, here is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses the two attributes, al-jabbar and al-rahman, or al-rahim. So, and also al-jabbar meaning the one that gives those who are losing something. You know what jabr is? Yes, mashallah. Nah, that which is broken is putting back together. So here is even al-jabbar has the meaning of, you know, you are in need and Allah will give you that need at the end of Ramadan. So here is, you know, you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, I am worshiping Allah, I am at awe with the creation of Allah, and I run to Allah, fearing Allah. And this is taqwa. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ, have taqwa toward an-nar, toward hellfire. And also said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and have taqwa toward Allah. So it has the meaning of protection. What are we protecting ourselves from hellfire, and we're protecting ourselves from Allah? Yes. And what are we using to protect ourselves from Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or la ilaha illallah, there's someone who will get close to Allah, and it will be out of push, out of desperation. When they were disobedient, and someone will get close to Allah because the love toward Allah. The Pharaoh, as he was dying, what did he say? Ashhadu an la ilaha illa. Okay, and bear witness that there is no God but Naam, the one that alladhi amana bihi bani Israel, the one that the Israelites believe in. Okay? Did not say Allah. And did not talk to Allah in the second person. Right? He talked about Allah. Do you see how this is? Allah is so distanced from him that when he talked, he did not talk to Allah, he talked about Allah. Right? I bear witness. Okay, we got to the end. I bear witness that there is no God except that one that the Israelites believe in. Okay. When Yunus alayhi salam was in the belly of the whale, right? In the darkness, in the sea, and the darkness of night. What did he say? La ilaha illa anta. Okay? He talked to Allah and says, Anta, you are Allah. He's talking to Allah. He's not talking, you know, about Allah. And this is the essence of belief. the essence of those who are close to Allah, when they speak, they are speaking to Allah. And they really know they are speaking to Allah. The companions, you know, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when he used to say, when you hear Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, sit up and pay attention. Allah is telling you something now. Allah is about to tell you something. See? You get that feeling. You sit up and put your back straight. Oh, you who believe, yes. Yes, Ya Allah, I'm ready to listen. Okay? There are some ulama, they would say, when they make a comment, they say, I heard Allah said. You wouldn't say, I read Allah said. Or Allah said in the Quran. But he would say, I heard Allah say, okay, reading the word of Allah and hearing the word of Allah is something different. Okay, hearing it as if you are, walking around and you're hearing it. That is closer than Allah said in the Quran. Even though it is close, but there is different degree. Okay. You look at the Israelites. Israelites of how they dealt with Musa alayhi salam. Okay. And every time they want something from Allah, they say to Musa alayhi salam, what do they say? Can you tell your Lord? Yes. Okay? Like go tell your Lord. Okay? Ud'u lana rabbak, and they polite, make dua, see? Ud'u lana rabbak, as if it is something good. Is ud'u lana rabbak. And, here is, Allah asked him to slaughter a cow, okay? So they start asking, okay, what kind of cow is it? No, not what kind of cow, what to slaughter? Okay, what to slaughter? Allah just said, slaughter a cow. And the question is, what to slaughter? Okay? So instead of Allah saying, I told you slaughter a cow, right? Allah, told them how to ask. So Allah says, not too old and not too young. Answer a question that they did not ask. They did not ask that question, right? But if you ask, at least be smart about it, okay? So they learned, right? So the next question says, okay, tell us what color it is, okay? So he says the color, and then they say, okay, tell us, what is it? And they go to the beginning again. The same answer to the question. What is it that was slaughtered? Okay? And then they realize, that's a little too much here. And so they said, to fix it? Inna insha'Allah lamuhtadun. We are insha'Allah, we'll get it and be guided. Okay, as if this word inshallah will fix everything that was done before. No, it's just a word out of their mouth. Okay. And Allah made it difficult for them. So now, instead of slaughtering any cow, it has to be not too old, not too young. And it has to be yellow and bright. And then it has to be uncontrollable, that walks around, nobody is in control of it, period. Now, they limited it to something that was very specific, okay? And we know that when they did that, now they made it difficult upon themselves. And this cow belonged to someone who actually owned it, but before he died as a calf, a small calf, he wanted to leave it for his son. So he told his wife, what do I do? Who do I keep it with? He does not trust anyone in the community to keep it with. She said, keep it with Allah. So he went out and he let it go. He says, Ya Allah, I trust this with you, Allah, to be given to my son when he's ready for it. And now they found out that this cow belonged to him. So they came to him. Finally, they had to pay its weight in gold to get it. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ أم تريدون أن تسألوا رسولكم كما سئل موسى من قبل؟ الله سبحانه وتعالى talking about نسخ. Here is a حكم that will come, would come down, and then eventually another verses will come, take this حكم away and bring another حكم. Yes. Okay. And but at the same time, the ayat will still be there. So al-ayat for ta'abbud still, for reading it and getting thawab from reading it, but it is not used as a judgment, to make judgment with. Okay, so this is an issue to be discussed, right? An issue of, you know, right away you want to say what? How come? So why didn't this come before? Why is this and why is that? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the companions after that, do you want to ask your prophet? Just like they asked Musa alayhi salam before. It's not befitting. It's not befitting. And we never hear the companions ask the questions that we ask today. Right? Why did Allah make swine haram? Okay? That's a very, you know, very question. Very famous question. Okay? From my knowledge, I did not hear, you know, from in the books or anything that anyone came to Rasulullah SAW and say, why swine is haram? It was just because Allah said it was haram. That's it. There's no need to dwell in it. Okay? It is the essence of obedience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And they did not wait for commands to come in many things. They would come and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask Allah. Okay? يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. Right? So here is how do they ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Okay, Allah does not say, did not say they tell you to ask Allah. No, neither they say go ask our Lord Allah. No, they go and they say to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how do we do this? Do you see the essence of that? To Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam right away. Okay, see. When the Israelites would ask Isa or Musa alayhi salam, he's like, you know, a nobody, and go ask, you know, Allah, okay? But the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, they ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam directly. So Allah said, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. They ask you, Rasulullah, what to spend. They ask you about al-ahil, about the crescent. They ask you about, you know, the menses, عن المحيض, woman menses, and so forth. That is the essence of submission, the essence of living the attributes of Allah and being aware of the attributes of Allah, being aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at you and knows what you're doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looking at your heart and aware of it. Okay. Why? Because there is la ilaha illallah. Okay? So Allah is al-aleem. The one who has the knowledge. So you in your life, you deal with your life as such, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Qadir, the one who is capable over everything. So therefore, Allah is capable over you, so you do not commit injustice. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us things that we don't know in the future. Okay? And we know that we're going to accept it as it is, and we're not going to argue about it. We know that we're going to be patient when we go through difficulties. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we were talking in the Jum'ah khutbah today about how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to Imran ibn Husayn and asking him, how many do you worship today? And he said, seven. Six on earth and one in the heavens. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, وَمَنْ تَسْأَلُ لِرَغَبِكَ وَرَهَبِكَ. Which one that you go when you are really in need, And when you're in fear, who do you go to? He said, لِلَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ, the one in the skies, the one in the heavens. Then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, to convince him or to talk to his logic, said, إِذَنْ يَكْفِيكَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ. Then the one in the heavens is enough for you. Right? The one in the heaven is enough for you. Okay? So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, would you accept Islam and I teach you a couple of words that will help you? Then he accepted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught him. He became a Muslim and taught him. Say, Allahumma alhimni rushdi wa'idhni min sharri nafsi. Oh Allah, give me my rushd, my intellect, the right intellects, the ripe intellects, the maturity way of thinking. And protect me from the evil of myself. Protect me from the evil of myself. And this is what we do as Muslimin. This is what we do here. We do those two things. Our intellect getting close to Allah through understanding, trying to understand His attributes that bring us mentally in a high level, inshallah, of understanding. A higher level, constantly higher level. All of us right now, we are a little bit higher in our level of thinking about Allah through our heart, with our heart, more than when we started these sessions. You know, I can testify myself for that, as far as myself are concerned, just talking about it and try to research about it and prepare something for it, it just gets one to a higher level. So here is, you know, we're reaching rushd here. We're reaching the mental soundness, if you will. Okay. At the same time, by going through that path, we are running away from the evil of ourselves. See? For the evil of ourselves. The self that trying to be in control, rather you are in control of it. So instead of it's controlling you, you are in control in it. So therefore, we are getting closer to Allah. The word La ilaha illallah has a more rich meaning with us as we are going along and knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We submit to the fact that we should worship Allah when we say La ilaha illallah. And also, when we dwell in the names of Allah and understanding and understand it, we become at awe with our Creator. And also, the more we know about the names of Allah, the more we realize that we have to run away to Allah and run away from the punishment of Allah to the reward and the Jannah of Allah. And then eventually, this ata, the giving that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving, is completed in Jannah, completed with the best of ata. It is the best of gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, which is to be pleased with us, to be pleased with us. Okay, so there are those who are living on earth. We're living in earth with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah is pleased with them, was pleased with them, and Allah said, and they were pleased with Him. See, Allah did not say just He is pleased with them. Also, Allah said, and they are pleased with Him, meaning the condition of life that they were living. They were pleased with Allah. They were happy to be the servants of Allah. But what did they have of the wealth of this life? Not much at all. Okay? But they were pleased with Allah, and Allah is pleased with them. And when did Allah say in different occasions, when is the famous occasion when Allah says He was pleased with them? When they were under the tree giving the bay'ah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not take anyone to jihad unless they want to. Right? He will not take anyone to go for to fight in the way of Allah without they volunteer. Did not force anybody to do so. Okay? So now here is the Muslimin going to Umrah, and they could not go, and they stuck outside of Mecca. Okay? Now there is, it seems like the Quraysh is going to prepare an army and come and attack them. So now you might have to fight. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under the tree sits, and they are sitting around him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and giving him bay'ah, giving the commitment to fight. See, they are already out and they are there. So they say, no, if it comes to fight, we will fight Rasulullah. Okay, radiallahu anil mu'mineen, Allah was pleased with the believers. Okay, around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ, as they were sitting under the tree, giving you bay'ah. See, here is a commitment at the time, something that they were not prepared for, and they did not expect, and they're not ready for. But when the time came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is time to do so, they all came and give bay'ah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is, when we hear about this and think about the comfort that we are in, and so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and we still ask, why is the swine is haram to eat? Okay? Why, these questions that the answers for? Yes, we can talk about the wisdom behind many things, and Allah does not prevent us from dwelling in these wisdoms. But the basic answer is because قال الله وقال الرسول قال الله وقال الرسول, and always Allah will take us to at His door with our logic, but then when we go in, we should be ready to submit. Okay, Allah will take us to His door with logic. Okay, who created the heaven and the earth? Allah, who takes life and gives life, Allah, and so forth, take us to the door. Now to go in, once you're in, Allah give you commands, okay? And Allah, يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ, and He'll make a judgment as He wishes, and that's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Isa alayhi salam to tell the Israelites, لُؤِحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ, I came to you to make something that used to be haram, halal. So Allah changed some certain rules. Does that mean the haram that Allah written upon the Israelites was all bad? No. Because if it's bad, it cannot be halal after that. So Allah made it haram for them for certain reasons for obedience. But then Allah changed it to become halal again. Okay? So it is because of submission, is because surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah. Please, as we follow in this good tradition, that inshallah we'll start with the one who always have the microphone first, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam, ala khair al-anbiya wa al-musaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I'm going to say the same thing I said twice before. This is the third time I'm saying.
And we will enjoy it for the third time, right? Inshallah.
just a reflection on the La ilaha illallah. Yeah. We all know. It's Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. It's Allah mentioned. It's kalima tayyiba. And he described it like a tree. The root of it in the earth and at faraguha fi al-sama. And it is so. And amazing that the effect of this words La ilaha illallah on the human being.
Now I remember
being.
Now.
Yeah, you remember.
No, so everyone who did not hear it, please listen to this.
No, it's just an observation.
Yes. As a physician, yes.
Well, yeah, kind of an observation. And I do physiology. And we study about, you know, the effect of all the muscle movement and the brain waves and stuff like that for EEG. So when I was reading one time an article, and they study every muscle movement in the face and especially the tongue. They realized that the tongue is the most effective muscle in the human, will affect the brain waves. That does not mean, and they did not say effective in what, but it just changed the alpha, beta, data, gamma, you know, waves.
The machines, something happened
right,
to it. Yes.
They realized that if the tongue moves, specific movement, it will alter the waves and give it some other, you know, not
pattern.
They did not say not normal, but they said different. It's not alpha, not beta. It's give it some sequence of waves. And when they study all the, what is movement, they study letters, you know, alphabet letters. They realize in the end, the most one will affect the brain waves. It's in English. La, 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 la. It's, they write it. L-A-H, 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 L-A-H. Subhanallah. And I was reading, for anybody of them, he doesn't even, you know, put together the things. And subhanallah. And I look at it, I said, okay. La ilaha illallah, it doesn't move anything except the tip of your tongue, which is, you don't have to move your throat. It just, you move your tongue and...
It's a combination of these letters.
Right, it's la 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 ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. It's exactly what affects your brain.
Yeah.
So what is the effect? I don't know. What is the, but definitely do change something in you. And that's what the Quran approved. That ala bidhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. So if you just without knowing why, just mention La ilaha illallah all the time. It's gonna affect the mood you are in. If you are hyper, if you are nervous, it will calm you down. If whatever it is, the waves is going on in your brain, it's gonna affect it, subhanAllah. And I mean, this is always when I remember La ilaha illallah. It's, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it's very light on the tongue and it's very heavy in the scale. And in the day of judgment, you know, it's will take you to paradise. One of one of the people who does not do anything good, only one card they found it, La ilaha illallah. It took him away from hellfire. I mean, enter paradise. One more observation is mine. This is nothing to do with science. There is 10 alifs in La ilaha illallah. If you count the shape of lam and alif in Arabic, I count them one time, it's the same. The shape the same, you know, how you write alif and lam. And if you count them, how the Arab write in the Quran, La ilaha illallah, it's 10. 10 mean 1 and 0, so it's 1. So Allah is re-emphasizing that He's 1 even in the number of the alifs. Yeah. You see what I mean? It's this is my own reflection.
Alhamdulillah.
Allahu alam.
Just, I've been studying on the same topic. I mean, I came in by chance to just to see this, but the power of La ilaha illallah in itself.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm a native Arabic speaker, so La ilaha illallah has 7 words in it.
Mm-hmm.
7 words in it. And the 7 words, this is based on a hadith from Rasulullah, Yaqulu, those 7 words will protect you from the 7 gates of the hellfire, from the Jannah, inshallah.
From hellfire?
From hellfire,
yeah.
the seven gates of hellfire.
Yeah.
And La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah has 7 letters, has 24 letters in it. The more you say them during the day, and the day has 24 hours, so in the day of judgment will protect you against the hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing also, for the Hadith al-Qudusi Azza wa Jal, reflecting back to what he said, on when you're nervous, you say La ilaha illallah, لأن الله في الحديث القدسي said, لما تذكر الله وأنت غضبان أذكرك يا عبدي وأنا غضبان. Hadith al-Qudusi. I mean, there is a lot of things that are studied about this. This is what I could remember so far.
There is a phone that's insist of ringing.
La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah.
About inshallah, you mentioned, I remember one scholar in Pakistan, he said that one time one person was going to buy the animal in the animal market. So he was going there, and the person is met on the way who Allah blessed him with knowledge. He said that, where are you going? He said, I'm going to buy the animal, maybe cow or goat, yeah. Whatever.
In Egypt, it was a donkey.
So he said that, just piece of advice, if you do that, say inshallah. So he said, what inshallah has to do with that? Money is in my pocket, an animal is in the market. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy and come back. So he left. What happened on the way, someone robbed him and took all his belongings and money. So he came back empty-handed. So the same person confronted him. He said that, how are you? You are coming back. I don't see the animal. He said that, inshallah, I went to the market. Inshallah, some robbers, they got me. And inshallah, they robbed me. And inshallah, I didn't have money when I went to buy that. So inshallah, I'm coming back with that. He said, now you can say whatever, inshallah, it's not going to work. You should have said that before you went.
That's what the Pharaoh said.
Bismillah. I think in the Quran, as we always hear the story with the two men with the garden, one say inshallah, and also the Surah Al-Kahf, I think, with the three stories, our Prophet didn't. The next day, he said, the next day I will answer, but he didn't say inshallah. So the surah begins with, I think, whatever you do, say the name of Allah. I'm not a native Arabic speaker, so I don't know the exact wording to it. But lately, there's a tariqah in my country is suggesting that, of course, I'm against this, but they say saying la ilaha illallah will take you to Jannah. That's just it. But what they're trying to do is trying to say then, if Christian says la ilaha illallah, they say there is one God. Some of them don't. Some Jewish do as well. But iman has six, in Turkish they say that there's six steps in iman. You can say la ilaha illallah, but you can say no Muhammad Rasulullah. Then you will not enter the Jannah. You know, then you could say la ilaha illallah, but I don't believe in Quran. So just the word itself is good, but people try to twist that and try to make Jewish and Christian people are with us as well. They say la ilaha illallah and there's no problem. So I was trying to argue with them that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, today in the khutbah, some people trying to make our Prophet so gracious. Of course he's, gracious, but they're becoming like Christians. And the opposite, total opposite is happening. And the other side, they're not approving the Prophet, but just saying la ilaha illallah will do everything. It's the key.
If you love Allah, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Yeah, if you love Allah, then follow me. This is what Rasulullah sallam said. Allah told him to say in the Quran. So follow me, and then Allah will love you and forgive you. So it is an action, it is a feeling in the heart, a word on the tongue, an action with the limbs. Okay, you cannot separate it. It's all connected. Okay, now you can have the feeling of the heart that's very sincere, and on the tongue, it's translated to the tongue, and in the application you could have problems with it, so you're still under the mercy of Allah. Just like, let us say you're taking a train, okay, from point A to point Z, okay, or to point, F, whatever it is, okay, and your destination is very crucial and you have to get there. Now, you can get on the right train, okay? But then you might have problems in the way, okay? You might, not have the right ticket, might be on the wrong side, might be here. There are things in the train that you don't know about or you did not know about, or you're trying to work things out, but eventually you'll get to your destination. Okay? Versus someone who goes into the train on the wrong train to begin with. He'll never get there. He'll never get there. Okay? And he might be very comfortable in the train. Okay? Might, you know, say Allah, Allah, Allah in the train all the way through. Okay? But he's not going to get there because he's on the wrong track to begin with. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى.
Thank you. And also, like as I was growing up with, we were always said this was a hadith, and today from the khutbah I figured out it might not be sahih. They said that as our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, as Adam alayhi salam was being created as mud and with water, I was already created as a ruh, you know, as a nur. In the khutbah today, when I, you know, concentrated listening onto it, what I picked up, this might not be sahih then.
Well, we are all created in the back of Adam alayhi salam, included Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? So, you know, yes, they're from the sons of Adam. Allah preferred some over others, alhamdulillah. But, you know, all the creation, all the offspring of Adam wasn't created in his back. Yes. And talking about La ilaha illallah and alhamdulillah, couple of churches we went to, they try to compliment us, okay? I think I said this before, they want to compliment us at the end, you know, so they have some kind of a hymn at the end or something like that. So they surprised us. One, they surprised us with La ilaha illallah. So the whole congregation, for about 10 minutes, okay, standing up and saying La ilaha illallah in a way, in a very musical way, with the, you know, with the piano and everything. Okay, it was amazing. Okay, inshallah, one day I'll bring it here. Inshallah, I have one. The one I have is Alhamdulillah. Yes, they have chosen Alhamdulillah, and the way it is, you know, on the piano and so forth. You know. So what does that do? You know. Nah, mashallah. Yes.
I remember when I was having an interview, we discussed about it. Prior I was mentioning about that. So we have to
read. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yeah. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, you mentioned very beautifully the, you know, we have to believe in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, like you don't eat pig or swine, you just take the order. And what I feel like is once you believe in something, like when you go through the steps, that belief that Allah is one, and go through the Quran, so you have a basic belief. Mm-hmm. After that belief, whatever order comes, you obey it. But you have to have a core belief first, that in the message, and then, because in Quran there's a lot of, is mentioned somewhere that there's some ayahs are very clear, and some are mutashabihat. But if you have a core belief first, you can then build on that.
Yes, yes. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
It comes with
as Muslim, we take the belief and the wuthuqiyat, the fundamentals from Allah, and we take them and put them in our hearts, and we run with them. So non-negotiable. There are some things that are non-negotiable. Let's say drinking alcohol, is it haram or halal? No, it is haram, non-negotiable. And when that's, I believe it's a hadith, Rabbi Yurshidni, العجز عن الإدراك إدراك والبحث في ذات الله إشراك. شيخ محمود
لا أدري
العجز عن الإدراك إدراك والبحث في ذات الله إشراك. Basically what it says in, if you translate it, if you're trying to dig into the knowledge and to seek the knowledge that God already gave you as a basic fundamental, so basically you're doing something wrong. Just take it and run away. And then the other part of it, if you translate it, it says, if you try to dig into the face of Allah, how is Allah, how is the shape of Allah, how is على العرش استوى, how is he, how is he, how is he made, that's basically shirk. So going back, sum it up, it's basically what Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us, we have to take it with an open heart. Shukran.
Insha'Allah, I will not be here next week, next Jummah, and I'll see you, insha'Allah, the beginning of the following week, insha'Allah. I'll be traveling, insha'Allah, make dua for me. Huh? Yeah, and a spring break, and the place I'm going is very sunny and very crowded, okay? Umrah, inshallah. Inshallah, inshallah. Jazakum Allahu khayran. You know, I just want to tell you that I love you for the sake of Allah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum.